Let us once again seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we ask that Thou wouldst cleanse our hearts from all things that defile us, and help our minds to focus upon Thy Word, so that we might receive the Scriptures, the teachings of it, the essence of its Gospel, into our hearts, and may Thy Spirit plow the ground of our hearts, and so that that seed of the Gospel might germinate and grow and become fruitful. Bless then each one here. Cleanse us afresh for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to read once more from Psalm 119, verses 59 and 60. Here the psalmist testifies of this. And he says in 59, Psalm 119, verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That is the word of God. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Again, a reference to the word of God being the commandments of the Lord. Friends, in this brief testimony, the psalmist defines the meaning of scriptural and spiritual conversion. What is conversion? And that is the theme of this message this morning. What is conversion? What does it mean to be converted? When somebody hears the word conversion, what goes through your mind? Well, conversion has to do with change. Conversion has to do with transformation. Conversion has to do with some form of exchange that is made. We use that expression in money and finance. Conversion. Exchange of currency and so on. But we are not only to think about conversion, but about spiritual conversion. That is what the Bible is about. Spiritual transformation. Christian conversion. Conversion to Christ Himself. Of course, we can be converted to all kinds of things. We can be converted to anything. And people thoughtlessly, or sometimes with great thought and reading and education, they are converted into some wrong ideas, like communism. I have some friends who have forsaken anything to do with God and now proudly say, I'm a communist. Or fascism. Or turning, they would say, I'm turning a new leaf. I'm changing this in my life, changing that in my life. There is some form of reformation that is taking place. Or a person is converted to atheism. I was talking to one Christian father who said, my son has become an atheist. He's denying that God even exists. Or a person is converted to humanism. That means a person just thinks about having rationalistic thinking about the things that happen in this world. Meaning they leave God out of life and God out of the things of this world. There are those who would say, I've been converted to Protestantism, or I've been converted to Catholicism, or any other ism. So it is obviously not enough to speak about conversion. What does the Bible mean by conversion? The answer is given in these two verses. Scriptural conversion is not to a man or to a religion, it's not a conversion to a church or to a creed, but it is a conversion to a person. Or perhaps we should say to the three persons in the one Godhead. Conversion to God. Conversion to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It is our whole life being turned into a right relationship with God, whom we come to know as our loving Heavenly Father. It is a conversion to a God. Yes, we know Him as a loving Father, but also through Jesus Christ, in whom we trust for ourselves personally. We put our whole trust in Him and our life into His hand. And we submit to His Spirit who has given us the Scriptures, who leads us and guides us. And this subject is very important, conversion. And to ask yourself, am I converted? I remember reading of the life of Robert Murray McShane, the famous Scottish preacher who died at the age of 29. He was a minister for 8 years, 2 years of it. He was unwell, away from his church, but the Lord used him mightily. Under his ministry, many, many, many people were transformed and professed faith in Jesus Christ. But do you know what he said? He says, I do not take the words of a person who makes merely a profession of faith. What I see as conversion, when I see holiness, when I see fruit, that is what conversion is about. True change, real change. And it becomes such a serious matter when we think of it in the light of our Lord's words, which is recorded in Matthew 18 and verse 3. He says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be converted. You adults, he says, except ye be converted and become as a little child. He's speaking spiritually. There must be that change. Change of thought. Change of heart. This real transformation. Now notice exactly what conversion is and how it takes place from these words of the psalmist. He says, I thought, in verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now the first thing that I want to say is that conversion begins with serious thinking. It doesn't just happen. God begins to cause you and I to think seriously. And he says, I thought on my ways. That needs to be underlined. Do you think about your ways? Do you think about your life? If only people would stop and think. We are living in such a fast-paced life. So many things happening. We lose track of things. And what happens? We lose track of God and eternity. And things that are so serious. Think about God. Stop and think about Him. Think about life. Think about sin. Many people would say, no, I don't want to hear that. One minister said to me very recently, we've lost half of our congregation. Because one of the leaders said, we should not emphasize so much about sin and forgiveness. And so this man went, this one of the leaders went, and half of the congregation said, well, we also don't like this kind of a thing. It brings a bad spirit when we mention sin in the church. But it is so serious. We ought to think about it. Because then it would lead us to seek the one who saves us from sin. Think about eternity. So much our time is spent on thinking about the hours of the day, the weeks. Maybe this morning you got up and you were thinking about what you ought to be doing tomorrow and throughout the week and people you have to meet and things of time. But have you thought about eternity? You are only going to be here for a short period of time. Life is passing. Something may catch us tomorrow. We might catch something and be gone. So thinking is something that ought to be done by us. And as a matter of fact, God asks us to do this very thing. Serious thinking. Serious reasoning in our minds and looking at life for what it is. and examine it by the Word of God. In the metrical version, I found it helpful where it says here, I thought upon my former ways and did my life well tested it. He tested his life. And God says to you and to me, think seriously. I thought on my ways. Can we say that? And the Lord says, you must think. That's where conversion begins, with thinking carefully about who we are. How does God see us? He sees us as sinners. He sees us as those who are undone. We have to give an answer to Him. We are accountable to Him. One day we have to stand to give an account of everything. We have to face up to Him. We have to face up to the fact that we need His grace and salvation now. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, He says, Come now, and let us reason together. Let's think about this. Let's argue this case. Let's thoroughly look at your life. Look at what I am saying, God is saying. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Think about this. Your sins are so tainted. It is so dyed as scarlet color, red blood color, dark red color. And you cannot get it out. And we all have experienced, haven't we? Trying to clean something. Paint has fallen on the carpet or in your clothes or something like that. And you try to wash it and it doesn't wash. Sin is like that. But the Lord says, but they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Lord says, let's reason together. Let's think about this. And until we do this, we shall never be converted until there is clear thinking. There are some people who say, well, I've always been a Christian. Or they would talk to me and say that, well, these things happen. I had this experience and so I had this thought in my mind or a vision, and then that's the end of it. But there is no clear thinking through the issues of heart and life and who God is and His nature and what Christ has done, who He is. Conversion doesn't just happen. There's a work that God does in us, and He begins to make us think. And it's only when He brings us to think upon our ways and we are faced with a deep sense of our own need and guilt before Him that we realize how much God has done for us, how much God loves us. We begin to think then of what it meant for Christ to come and why did He come into this world to obtain salvation, and how much the Holy Spirit has loved us to inspire those writers to write this book for us, and how much He loves us that He brings to us the gospel and He challenges us by His word. Conversion begins with serious thinking. Serious consideration. There is a great illustration in the Bible, one of the best, I think, that we can have. And that is the parable of the prodigal son, which is recorded for us in Luke 15 and verse 11 to 19. Let me read that to you. Luke 15 and verse 11. It is the parable of the prodigal son. You see the conversion in his life. You see he begins to think. And he begins to do something. Goes back. Let's read that. And he said, verse 11 of Luke 15, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." That's that account of the parable of the prodigal son. But when you read that, you find something happens. This man's life becomes from bad to worse. He's very miserable. No one is able to give him anything. He's in a great state of want. So he's already feeling that. He already knows his case. But then, when you notice verses 17 and 18 and 19, you find how the prodigal son, it says, he came to himself. That means he came to his senses. And we have to notice in that parable that he only did this when he came to the end of himself. And when he was in dire straits. How often this is the case? It was then that he realized how foolish he had been and how much he needed his father's love and his father's provision. Christian conversion begins with serious thought, serious weighing up of what is happening to us and what we are as sinners and constantly falling from sin to sin. Oh, what a thought that is. And all of these things are done in the sight of a holy God. All of it is being recorded. All of it is seen. It's all open before the Savior and our God. And the holy judge must judge the sinner to eternal punishment. So serious thinking is what is needed. But notice, in the second place, the psalmist says this, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." There's, in second place, definite action. Definite action. Serious thinking leads to a definite action. And that's something to underline. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Not just my thoughts, but my feet. It means that there is a changing in the life. The whole soul, the whole person is being transformed, is being changed. And when a man thinks hard and seriously and prayerfully about God and about salvation, as he has shown it in the Bible, then his soul and his soul's need is all seen. You begin to be convicted. And that's a good thing. Some people say, "I don't want to feel bad about these things." No, but it's a good thing to feel bad about these things. Then it is that you would seek the Lord. And your eye begins to open up. That's what happens to people. Our eyes begin to open up when we sense this pain that we have sinned against God. And we feel awful and guilty in our hearts about it all. And so we begin to open up. We begin to cry to God. We pray to Him, "Lord, have mercy on me now, for I have sinned against heaven." And we begin to open up and see that of the fact that Jesus Christ has died for sinners. And I am such a sinner. He's died for me. We realize that for our sins to be forgiven, a perfect soul must die. And so, in that situation, we begin to think through this, that we must trust in the Savior. We must trust in Jesus Christ. We admit to our sins. We don't try to excuse it away, hide away from these things. to admit that I am deserving of judgment and punishment from God. That is what happens. And God begins to work. There's some definite actions that take place. This thought begins to develop. Then by faith, we go further. We go further. And we trust in Christ. We find no other resting place, no other person to help us. And we yield to Jesus Christ with all that we have. Everything is given over to the Savior. There is a surrendering to God. Have these things happened to you? A total surrender. A total yielding. Have you been thinking about these things? Boys and girls, maybe you have been thinking about this. And you've been thinking, what is my life? Where am I heading? I don't know about these things. My parents teach me these things. I know some of these things. I've memorized some of these verses. But I haven't experienced conversion. Well, think carefully and seek the Lord about these things. If you feel unsettled and if you feel guilty, it's a good thing. Go to the Savior. Confess to Him about these things. This serious thought leads to action. That's what true conversion is. And we find again in the parable of the prodigal son in verse 20 of Luke 15, he came to the point where we read, and he arose. That means he got up from where he was and he arose and came to his father. It's not just sitting there and wallowing in his sad state. And there would be some people, and you see, the devil wants you at times not to seek the Lord, wallow in your state and feel guilty all about it. And you see, my friends, there are so many people in sad conditions, feeling so depressed, thinking of themselves, oh, I'm so awful, and look at my life, look what I've done, look what I've made a mess of things. And what do? They turn to drugs, they turn to drink, they turn to other sins, and such things. And even for some, sadly, you hear of them taking their own life. But that is what Satan would want you to do, to wallow in that. But we are offering to you and showing to you, there's a better way. Jesus Christ, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What is this heavy laden? This weight of sin. And I will give you rest. So this young man, he arose. He got up. He didn't go back further into the city of his sin. No, he went to his father. And came to his father. He turned back on the old life and he set out towards a new life. Think of the provision which the father made for him. And he'd been thinking about this. Look at all the things, all the promises, all the positive things that are in my father's house. What I would have when I arrive there. Think of it. Think of the meaning. Think of the purpose in his life. The love that he would experience, the peace that he would experience, the joy that would fill his heart, the forgiveness that he would receive from his Father. And that, let that sink into you. Is that what you have? Think about this. This man goes back, confesses his sin. Oh, I have sinned against heaven. This confession made. Then what we find later on, when you read that passage, you find that his father gives him a robe. He clothes him. That's a picture of the righteousness of Jesus Christ given over to us. Our sins are covered. We are forgiven. There's a ring that is given to this son. It is a sign of his sonship and relationship. And there are shoes given to him. His clothes, that's protection. For the journey of life, given direction. There's food given to him. There's sustenance for the soul in the gospel. There's fellowship, companionship, friendship with God, friendship with God's people. There's joy. The scriptures are joy of the Holy Ghost. These things are part of conversion. So the question is this, what have you done then? You have felt this guilt. You have felt that you are in need. You know these things to be true. Then have you come to that place of getting up and going to the Heavenly Father, confessing to Him, embracing Him, trusting in Him fully? And then finally, you have loving obedience. Loving obedience. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. I say it is loving obedience. And it is important to emphasize the matter. The obedience is done out of love. Not to simply keep certain laws or simply trusting in our obedience. No, salvation comes through Christ alone. And it is Christ who saves us. But there is the definite action leads to loving obedience. So the person has been thinking. The person has been convicted. And then they have sought the Lord, turned to the Lord. And the Lord saves and the Lord works and they are forgiven. And then out of love for the Savior, they are obedient. They pursue obedience. I made haste. This definite action doesn't stop short at this point. It must lead to a life of obedience and holiness. That's what Robert Murray McShane was driving at. It has to be a complete salvation. It must be a complete conversion. Conversion is just the beginning of a life of joyful obedience to the Lord. To find out His perfect will. To be doing it. To see what are our responsibilities now. How we are to live as believers in Christ. This is what the Christian is called to be. As someone who loves Christ. And be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what the Apostle says in Romans 12. Let's think about this. Some of the New Testament illustrations, which are evidence of conversion and indications of loving obedience to the Lord and His Word. You think about various characters, various real people. Zacchaeus, remember? All the boys and girls must know Zacchaeus. When he was converted, that little man, he showed the reality of his conversion by his obedience to the Lord. He had opened his house. He had welcomed the Savior. And then he was going to restore the things he had stolen from other people. My life has changed now. I will give back more than what I have stolen to those people. You think about the woman of Samaria. After her conversion, she gave her testimony of how she had renounced her sinful ways. She wasn't going to go back to that lifestyle anymore. And this also led her to evangelize, share this with others, witnessing of the power of the gospel to all around her. The soul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. There's evidence that he had been truly converted. That was when he gave up persecuting the church. He became a humble apostle of the Lord Jesus, whom he had denied. And once again, sharing with others the good news. There's Cornelius, there's the Ethiopian eunuch. You could mention all of these things. The Philippian jailer. Those converted in Ephesus. Those Christians, so much of them, their lives was given to idolatry and to false ideas. And they had so many books in the homes of witchcraft and sorceries. And what they did, they piled them up on a bonfire. Made a bonfire out of them. And it says that the price of them, they didn't go and sell it back. They didn't go and give it to a charity shop or anything like that. No, they were wrong. And so they destroyed them all. And the price of them, if they were to be sold, it would have been 50,000 pieces of silver. That was the testimony. God had changed them and transformed them. This is the fruit. There is action. There is life. There is reality. There's no hypocrisy here. So there's something real and lasting. Have you experienced this kind of conversion? Your thoughts are engaged with realities of the gospel. That Christ has come to save sinners like you and me. And that you have to trust in Him and you felt your need. Don't go after the thoughtless world. Don't carry on your life going, starting from morning, you go through to the evening, and all you're engaged with, all the things you have got to do, and the things you have to pay for, and the things you have to fix, and family and so on, and your studies and your exams and all these things. Think seriously today, now, about these things. Scriptural conversion can be described in three words. Stop, turn, obey. Stop, turn, obey. Obey. Stop in your tracks and repent of your sin this morning. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Stop. And then turn to the Lord and put your trust in Him as Savior and Lord of your life. Turn to Him. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So turn to the Lord, trust in Him, and give yourself wholly in obedience to Him. Walk after Him. Do what He says in the Scriptures. What is conversion? It is this great transformation that God does. May the Lord then speak to us and work in each one of us this conversion. Amen. Let us pray.